before Gary starts crowd surfing. I know you were. I know you were. That's what I was afraid of. Hey, do you have your Bibles with you this morning? Could you get those, or electronically if you have those, can you give us some lights a little bit this morning? We're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter. Dude, I didn't know what she was going to say next. I should have been very afraid of that. That was a last-minute addition. I just thought to myself, because it fits with the message, and I felt like, honestly, I feel like you guys are kind of, you are great, what's the word I'm looking for? Example. You're a great example of what I'm going to be talking about today. Hopefully we'll wake up a little bit later as we go. Do we have the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter? Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. This is a great story. Starting verse 21. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogues, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body as she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God for us to gather community of God. Thanks be to God. Can I tell you something that I hate this morning? I want to be honest with you and tell you that I hate it when I wake up in the middle of the night. Is anybody with me? And this is how it goes down in my house. Jackson wakes up, and his bed is above ours in the house, and you hear. And then it's a stop, and then it's, because he's jumped down about 3 steps. And then he goes again. Then he jumps down and hits the ground. And then he's beside us. He comes in and he wakes us up. And the way we do it in our house is that we take turns. Right? Now, typically, that's what happens. But sometimes Lori forgets whose turn it is. And she says, "You got this, right?" And then it happens. I begin to roll out of bed, saying sweetly to my son, "Let's go back to bed, sweet boy." And as I'm doing that, I am fighting what I know is coming. The enemy. Awakeness. I'm fighting desperately against awakeness. Because when I'm awake, I'm done. If I'm really awake, I'm going to catch all kinds of grief trying to get back to sleep. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's difficult. It's very difficult for me to do that. I do everything I can to stay asleep while I'm walking upstairs. I don't turn the lights on. We don't turn any lights on. I know where to go. I make sure that there's a path. I know exactly where to go. I know how the steps. And this, honestly, I'm going up the steps like this. I know. And because I don't have any shoes on, I just step. I know that it's tile right there, and I'm stepping up, and I know exactly what's coming next. I don't try to move too quickly. I just make sure that I'm doing just enough not to kill myself in the middle of the night. And then, with the skill of a ninja, I am agile for a big man, friends. I gently help and push Jackson back into the bed. One fell swoop, I throw the covers on him, and then I get in the bed with him, because we have to lay with him just for a moment to make sure that he's not going to come back down the steps. So we lay there for a moment, and I'll be very honest again. I want to fall back asleep right there as quickly as I can, because sleep is very important to me. I don't care if I'm not in my own bed. I don't care if I'm not under the covers. I don't care if I don't have enough room to sleep, because you would be surprised at how small that young boy is, but how much room he takes up in the bed. Okay? And if you've got kids, or you know, I mean, he's got 14 stuffed animals in there with him, right? And pillows all around him. I don't know how he does it, but so I'm in there, and I'm just trying to go back to sleep. And there are some joyous nights that I do fall asleep. And then I wake up somewhere between 30 minutes, sometimes even an hour later. And the easy part of just getting downstairs, because it's all going downhill, right? We've got a little hallway light in there, so I've got just enough to see to get to the steps. I know again how many steps, and then I can see. And then as I'm walking back into my room, it's getting darker and darker, and I'm like, this is going to be so great right now. Right? Because I know exactly where to go over to the side to get to my bed, and I fall in the bed, and I start jerking the covers, and I'm back, and I'm done, and I'm finally asleep. And I want to address our desire for sleeping. And I do appreciate the appropriate 8 hours of sleep, and I would encourage you to get that every night. Right? Well, y'all need to go to bed at some kind of decent time, all right? Don't complain to me. You're going to bed at 3 in the morning and you got an 8 o'clock class. I appreciate a good slumber. But I wrestle to make that happen, like our college students do. And I would suggest today that, unfortunately, while we're not getting enough sleep at night, or we may be getting enough sleep at night, and there's a whole other message in that, I think many of us are sleeping actually through life itself. Aren't we? I think we're doing just enough sometimes to make sure we keep our eyes open just enough to get from place to place, hoping that we don't fall over something and hurt ourselves. I think sometimes we become numb to the feelings and authentic relationships because we have been hypnotized into a trance by a small blinking light. The next events on our calendars, and the stream of things that we do by rote over and over and over and over again. Does this relate to anyone? You look at your calendar sometimes and you say, well, these are things I have to do just because I have to do them. Am I guilty of that? Yes. Sometimes I think when we're guilty of that, we become like the walking dead. You know, there's a fascination with zombies these days. Anybody watch the show The Walking Dead? We were talking about that earlier today. Yeah. So you like that show. There's a zombie response team. I looked it up on the internet. Their thought is that if you can survive the zombie apocalypse, you can survive anything else. But they're preparing for the zombie apocalypse. Does anybody have a cell phone? Let me see Gary Nave's cell phone. Turn it off. That's your phone. Oh, look, he went to his scripture to make sure I knew. He pulled it up. He's like, all right, yeah, let me get to the Bible. Yeah, little girl. Wake up. So, and you've seen videos, right? You've seen videos like this, and you know people like this, right? Anybody ever done this? Come here, Lori, walk with me for a second. Yeah, walk with me. Pretend like we like each other, okay?
That's hard.
So we're walking, and so Lori, just start talking to me.
So anyway,
start talking to me.
What happened was.
Exactly. And so, and I'm looking, and then I stop, we stop, and I say, what did you say to me? Has anybody else ever done that? You can raise your hand. You can be honest here this morning, right? We do this. Y'all seen the video where the person is looking through this and they fall over into the fountain? You tell me that we're not dealing with real live zombies. I tell you, you're a liar, okay? Zombies are real, friends. Zombies are very real. And I think we're actually the zombies. We are actually the zombies. Walking with our headphones down. Not our headphones, but our headphones down. And I'm not picking on smartphone users because I am one of them. But I'm suggesting that many of us, many people that we know, we are not engaging in all that life has for us. We're not living actual life. We're actually sleeping through opportunities to receive the transformation that God has for us. We're actually sleeping through opportunities that God has offered to us. We are sleeping through opportunities to share the goodness that God has given to each and every one of us. We are sleeping through opportunities to help our community and our world, friends. We are sleeping. We are the walking dead. And I'm not saying this morning that you're kind of like the walking dead, but there's a little bit like this morning. I feel like you're kind of like the walking dead a little bit. Like you're here. It's time to wake up, isn't it? I mean, God has done great things for us. God has provided for us everything for us. God has given to us already grace upon grace upon grace. And sometimes we sleep through it. Jesus is returning from the land east of the Sea of Galilee, and Jairus, this leader of the synagogue, comes and he falls down at Jesus' feet. He says, my little daughter is at the point of death. You can hear the urgency in this man. Please, Jesus, I know that you're the teacher. Please come lay hands on her. Please heal her. Jesus is on the way to see her. And as he's happening, I've talked about this story before. This woman, she's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She's tried everything possibly that she knows how to do. She's spent all of her resource doing this. She comes and she says, if I can just touch him, if I can just be near him. She comes and she puts his hand on his cloak. As Jesus is traveling, he's interrupted. I just want you to think about this because I'm going to come back to it for a second. But imagine if Jesus is walking with a cell phone, right? He's walking and he's going, and if he's focused in on his cell phone and he doesn't know, and somebody comes and the crowd is pressing on him, but he's able to pick out this one particular woman that came specifically as she touched him. And if he's doing that, if he's the walking dead, he cannot understand that this one particular woman has come and has touched him, has reached out and touched him. And Jesus says, he stops, he says, who touched me? And one of the disciples, he said, what do you mean, who touched you? Don't you see this crowd? And some translations, like, how can you ask such a stupid question? So I'm trying to figure out who's going to ask Jesus that question. You know? How can you ask such a stupid question, Jesus? I mean, these guys, You know, they must have been feeling really together to say to Jesus, hey, look, there's all these people, Jesus. You don't get that. But the woman came forward because she knew, she understood, and she comes forward to Jesus. She says everything. Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be healed. Jesus is on the way to heal, and he's interrupted so that he heals. And as he's interrupted, and this smart aleck disciple on the side says, you know, he's asking these questions, people begin to say to him, because Jairus hears, they come to Jairus and they say, look, your daughter has died. And they say, why bother the teacher anymore? Don't bother him anymore. And this is great. This is great. Jesus responds to Jairus by saying, don't listen to them, but trust me. Don't listen to them. Trust me. I love everything about that. They're going to tell you all kinds of things. Don't listen to them. Trust me. Right now, trust me. This is an intense moment in this walk that Jesus has been taking. Everyone thinks that this little girl is dead. And the mourning process begins. And it is screamed throughout the neighborhood. People are weeping and wailing, and they're ripping their clothes at the death of this young girl. And Jesus walks right into the midst of this weeping and wailing, and people are ripping clothes, and Jesus comes in calm and quiet and in control of the situation. He says, don't listen to them, just trust me. Just trust me. He goes into the room with Jairus and his wife, and he takes his three closest with him, and he grabs the little girl's hands. And the translation actually from that is that he seized her hand. Right? He seized her. Now, there is a difference, isn't it? When we think grabbing, we think we just come and we would grab, you know, the hand or something like that, right? But if to really seize a hand... You know what I'm saying? Do you understand the difference? Stephen Schwenk, do you understand the difference? Right? Seize it, man! That's seizing a hand. You got to do that to Stephen because he's a big dude, you know? I didn't want to hurt you, Lori, this morning. You have to seize. He seizes his hand. Jesus is not in there begging her to get up. He does not plead with her about his reputation being on the line. He's like, hey, don't do this for me. He seizes her. He grabs her hand. He says in Aramaic, Talitha kum. Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Wake up. Wake up, little girl. And she does. She wakes up. And then Jesus is like, don't say anything about this to anybody. And give her something to eat. And Jesus, he was all about that, right? We need to feed her. Obviously, she's tired. We need to feed her. My question for us this morning is, are we awake? Are we awake yet? Can we see what's happening? Do we see what's going on? Do we actually see what's happening? And I mention this story because it gives an example of what it means as it's happening. Jesus is on the way to do ministry. He's engaged in life. He's not down looking at his cell phone. He's so aware of his surroundings that he notices when a person touches him and takes away some of his power. Jesus is not angry at that. He just wants to acknowledge what he's experiencing right now. He does that. I think he does that for us to illustrate what he does when he grabs Jairus' daughter and says, get up. Wake up. You have to be engaged with what's going on. You have to be engaged at what's going on. I mean, are we up or not? Are we? Are we engaged with the life around us? Are we seeing what's happening in our communities? Are we seeing what's happening in our homes? Do we know what's happening there? Or are we trying desperately to move from place to place with our eyes open just enough that we don't kill ourselves by walking? Are we just going through the motions? Are we hoping and praying that nobody's going to turn on the lights around us? And we're trying to get from one place to the next as quickly as we can. Are we awake? Or have we become the walking dead? I mean, that's a legitimate question, I think. It's not a question of whether or not God has loved us. God has loved us. God is always loving us. It's a question of whether or not we are being woke up to that. I mean, you know, I think sometimes, you know, it happens to us in churches, you know, very easily because we start thinking, you know, Sunday's coming, right? And I gotta do Sunday, and I gotta get to Sunday, and I gotta do that. And Sunday, it just becomes one of those things for me that I'm going. I'm not trying to be rude about it. I'm not trying to just check off the box. I'm going because I want to go. But sometimes we're going and we're doing that, but we get so narrow in our focus, and we kind of begin to shut our eyes a little bit and put it on autopilot, don't we? And we forget. We forget about, you know, kids in Africa. You know, every 30 seconds dying from malaria. We forget about that. We forget about child slavery. We forget about gang violence. We forget about all those things. We forget about bullying until the moment where our kid gets bullied. We forget. We're just kind of going. I'll be honest with you. I think I've been wrestling with that a lot recently in my own spiritual life. Not as a pastor, but as a Christian. Somebody who's trying. I'm just like you. I'm just trying as hard as I can to be more like Jesus. I'm trying as hard as I can. And some days, I think I do a pretty good job, and some days I do a really crappy job of it. But in that, I'm wrestling. I'm trying to understand more. I'm trying to do this. I think sometimes I've tried to hold so tightly to myself. You know, I've got to be a good pastor. I've got to be administratively good. I've got to do all these things. I've got to make sure the church is doing this and doing that and all those things. And I think sometimes I've been afraid to give myself away and to be really used by God. And I'm afraid that I have gone through moments of zombie Christianity, you know. And I wonder, you know, how many times have I missed an opportunity to better serve God? Because I'm just like, you know, eyes are shut. We're reading a book in our small group, and other folks are reading it. It's called Love Does by Bob Goff. If you don't have it, you should get it and read it. And I'm telling you, man, Bob Goff is nailing it. He's good. He's really good. And he gets it just right on. And basically, he's kind of asking if people are awake or not. He challenges you to engage life, period. He challenges you to participate in whimsy. I like that word, whimsy. And he challenges you just to be awesome. Now, if you ask me most days, I'd tell you I'm pretty awesome. But, you know, and now would you say, well, that's typical because you're an idiot, you know. He wants you to be awesome, not so you would be, like you would get any glory, but just be awesome because God made you to be awesome, you know, and do something awesome for God. As a matter of fact, he says that what Jesus does when he heals Jairus' daughter, he doesn't put on a hero's cape looking for glory. He's just going around the business of being awesome. That's why Jesus says, don't tell anybody. This is awesome. And you're healed. Now get something to eat. You know? That's the way it goes. And so here's what happens, right? When our ego gets in the way, right? In our own internal feuds that we have, and sometimes we have internal feuds like with me, myself, and I, all three of us are fighting, you know? And then you've got these other kind of fake feuds that, you know, you're fighting with somebody else, and you don't know, like, do I like them? Do they not like me? I don't know. Did she really mean that when she said that? I'm not sure. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I just making that up or what? Or maybe that's just my experience. And the rest of y'all are lying. So, when hatred or evil or envy and pride take over, then I am asleep. I get lulled to sleep. When I don't work on leaning into Jesus with my reading and writing and prayer, I'm telling you, friends, you've got to read your Bible. Not to check it off, but just to be changed by it. If I don't lean into Jesus that way, if I don't do those things, then it's easier for me to fall asleep. And then I wonder why I don't hear from God. I wonder why I don't know where I'm supposed to go or how I'm even supposed to begin to open this equation up. I have to engage. And when I am asleep, I will miss every opportunity that God has for me to be awesome. When I choose to deliberately ignore the opportunities that God places before me, I am choosing a way of life that is false, rather than a way of life that is awake and in tune with what God is doing. And the only way I can be awesome is if I wake up. The only way we're going to ever be awesome is if we wake up. We have to open our eyes to see what's happening. We have to acknowledge that we have to go into the places just like Jesus. While others are wailing and weeping and tearing their hair out and ripping their clothes off in distress, we have to go into those moments and we have to be incredible. We have to go into the spot, here we go, that everyone thinks is dead. We have to go into the spot that everyone thinks is dead. We have to grab the hands of those that are there in that place, and we have to say to them, with the power of God, it's time to get up. Amen? Whew, I'm gonna grab y'all in a minute, okay? I'm gonna come grab you. We have to seize the hands. We have to seize the hands of those that are hurting, those that are lost, those that are wondering, and we have to say, wake up and let's go get something to eat. Right? I mean, that's what Jesus did. Wake up. Get up, little girl. Get up. Get up. So now we're going to do an experiment. I don't know where you're going to eat today. All right, somebody needs to write this because I'm not really good at that. Anybody else? Somebody who's got good penmanship? Here we go, right here. Lindsay, you want blue or green? Blue. There you go. All yours. Now you need to write up here. Let's be cool about this. Actually, I want to write this, Lindsay. Okay. Get up. Okay, that's what I wrote. Okay. Okay, Lindsay, I'm going to seize your hand in just a moment. So just stand there. You on pause for just a second, okay? Please do not wait until Project Spy starts to wake up. Please do not wait until Friday night at the food pantry to wake up. When we are asleep, we are playing church. And when we are playing church, we are missing the opportunity to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And that is not good enough. So I thought, and Lindsley has graciously agreed to write for us. Thank you. I want you to think for a second. This is going to be quick fire here. You've got to be ready for this. Where are the places? Where are the places that we know that people are sitting there thinking that something is dead? Do you know of any places like that? I guess we're taking a bus to D.C. today. So let's go march on Washington just for fun. Just for fun. What? So, well, let's break that down for a second, right? You want to give me one of these little deals right here? Thank you. So, what? We're probably not going to go to Congress today. But what are the places, maybe some local government things? Yes? Okay, thank you. Local government, because I appreciate your tenacity. I'm with you. What are some other places that we can go to? Come on, I know you know this. I mean, it's a good sermon. I know you've been listening to this. What? Go vote? Okay, we need to go vote. What's another place? Well, you know, just recently this morning we talked with our Support Our Schools program about going possibly to a local elementary school this summer, and as part of what we do with the SPA program is to go and actually hold a camp in the local school. And I know we're going to face some opposition for that, but I think that's something that we can go to a place that people might think is dead, and we can say, get up, right? What are some other places? Do you know some environments, some places that we need to go to? The where? The PTA? Oh, Secretary of the PTA right here, buddy. All over there. Hey, you know what? That's great. You need to go to your schools. Parents, if you're not parents, you need to go to your schools. I don't know if they'll let you in if you're not parents, but because that may be kind of weird. But you need to go to your schools. You need to be where your children are, right? You need to volunteer where your children are going to be. Yes? I mean, that has to happen. Somehow or another, that has to happen. Look, Lindsay needs some more writing to do. Neighborhoods? So different neighborhoods. Do you know some people in places in your neighborhood that, yeah, Rocky? We'll say it again. Stevenson's apartment building. Okay. What's up there? All right. A lot of people that need help. Stevenson's apartment in Radford, above the Wilco. All right. Where's that? Right beside. Okay, in the same spot. That's just a whole area that just needs some help right there. All right. Let me ask you a question. Has any church ever gone there? Nobody from the church goes there. Okay. Okay. We got folks who live in Radford, yes? That's where we're going to stage our events, out of Radford. Dodie Woodard, we're coming to your house. What else? Red Oak Lane? That's right here, isn't it? Down the street. You know what, there are folks that live around probably within not even, I mean, a couple hundred yards of Fieldstone. And they probably have no idea that we're a church, you know. And there are some folks that just know that we're a place that gives out money. What I'm suggesting to us this morning is waking up and seeing the opportunities to give ourselves away and better serve God's people. Is this making sense to you? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? I need a verbal yes or no. Okay. I need you to help me with that. What else? In the jail? That's right. We need to go to the jails. Is there anybody ever visited the jails? I went in the past month down to Western Regional Jail. That's, you know, that's a place that we need to go. Wesley called us to go into the prisons, into the jails. Jesus was kind of down with that, you know. So what else? Salem, VA. You need volunteers there? So there you go. When y'all stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and you get done with your class at 12 o'clock, living the high life in college, right? Something like that. The Roanoke Rescue Mission. What? What is, I'm sorry. The clinics. What? Public clinics. Thank you. Mental health facilities. Nursing homes. How many tech students do we have here today? You ever see folks walking around with their heads down? Hey, by the way, we're also going to do a pizza with the pastor just for you guys, but we're going to do it at the Wesley Foundation at Tech. So I'll give you a date on that too. Sorry, that's just a little aside on the sermon. Dude, I love preaching like this. This is great. What else? Jobs? People need jobs. We need to help people get jobs, right? Wherever you're at. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, well, that's, yeah, for sure. But you're talking about going to places where people work. Wherever you are personally. That's right. And now that's even perfect. I read something the other day. It was yesterday, actually. It said, stop inviting people to church. And I was like, wow, I'm going to read that. Because I told you a couple weeks ago, I said, you need to invite somebody for church for Pastor Appreciation Month, right? So I want to see if I agree or disagree with this guy. Invite people to church. He said, you know what, it's about just going where they are. Essentially, it's about inviting, but he says it's going and just becoming friends with people. I think what it is, it's being in that place and just grabbing somebody's hand, just seizing their hand right where they are, right? And just saying, hey, let's go get something to eat. Let's go get something to eat. Wake up. Let's be in real relationship with each other. You know? That's what this is about. That's what we have to be about. I mean, that's what God is about with us, right? A real relationship with us. God is transforming us, friends. And God is asking us to help others because there are other people that don't know the goodness and the glory of God, right? Do you know somebody that doesn't know that? Raise your hand. You know somebody that doesn't know God? You know somebody's got a bad taste in their mouth because of the church? Raise their hand. Okay. So you know what our responsibility is then? Seize them. Help them wake up. Right? God has something for all of us. Yeah, Dodie. I like that idea. Selling Jesus. You know that was good. For free 99. And we're going to take you to lunch. All right. Give it up for Lindsay. You did a great job. Oh, you hold on. We got, yes, sir. Low-income apartment complexes. Okay. Right. So, we'll say what? Other churches. Oh, whoa, whoa. Don't write that down, Lindsay. All right. I don't want any visible evidence of that. He's just being, you're right. Like I said, I think our church is guilty of that sometimes. You know? Now, look, I'm not saying we need to start a commission and go out and do this stuff today. But I'm kind of saying we need to start something and we need to do this. Right? I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Okay? So, but I think part of what we're getting at is these places we would say are maybe, and we know other places and maybe even homes and places we know that are dead. Right? And people are there and it's the walking dead and it's our responsibility. You know, I don't want a pastor church that just, I don't want you to want me to just come in here and sit in this office, you know, every day. And I don't want you just to say, oh man, write a good sermon. You know, I mean, I want to write a good sermon and I want the Lord to help me do that. But I don't want you to just say, man, I just want to go hear a good sermon and go home. You know, I mean, that's not good enough. It's not. And I know you love to be around folks, and that's good too, but you know what? That's not good enough. Oh, Lord. Sorry. It's not good enough to be done at 12 o'clock, friends. So we're not going to be. But I know y'all getting hungry, and I am too. So, look, let me just say this, and I'll finish up. Today, you know, God is coming into the places of darkness for all of us to bring hope. Today, God is coming to us and says, get up. Today, God comes into those places of hurt to bring peace, to bring healing, to bring salvation. And this is how it starts, by grabbing the hand of someone beside you and squeezing it tight. So since I know you don't like this at all, could you stand up for me? Now, could you move in a little closer, side by side? If you're, big gap in the middle, friends. If you're new here today, I promise I don't ask you to hold hands every Sunday. They're coming, they're coming. Now, why don't you take a hand of the person beside you? This is so uncomfortable right now. This, at least I'm not saying, now look, interlock hands. No, I didn't say do that. I'm just kidding. Here's what it is, friends. This is what it is. You squeeze them beside you. You seize them. You grab them. And then you invite them to have something to eat. I promise, and God promises, that if we would do this, if we would faithfully do this in those places that we live, in those places that we work, those places that we frequent, if we would do this, we would begin to see transformation happen. So I tell you this morning that this is not Fieldstone's table, but it is the Lord's table. The same Lord that has come and reached in and seized you. It is the same God who has done that, who invites you to come to God's table to receive strength and nourishment, to receive hope, to hear the words, wake up. And as we receive this meal this morning, that is what we are being asked to do, to wake up. Stop going through the motions. Don't just come and take this meal by rote. Come and receive it. Open your eyes and receive it. And believe what is happening. As we remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed, and he took the bread and he gave thanks, he blessed it, and then he broke it. And he gave it to his friends and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you can to remember me. And when you eat it, wake up. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his followers, and he said, take and drink from this, and drink it good. Get a lot of it. Drink it good. And wake up when you drank it. It is the body and blood of Christ offered for us so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask now that you pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice and on those gathered here, that we truly might receive this gift, that we truly might wake up and receive this gift that you offer to us. Unite us, one in spirit, one in body. Unite us with all of those that have ever and will ever gather at this table, God. Fill us to overflowing. Let us receive this meal and wake up. Let us receive this meal and know that God, Christ Jesus, has come into the place where we are to seize us so that we might seize others. Grant us the strength to feast on this gift in our hearts so that we might be forever changed. We ask all of this now in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.